Perachav Gimel Be'ezus Hashem is Baruch. We're about to start the fifth shir. If you have the standard print, it's on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. We stopped a little in the middle of a thought. If you have on the inside margin in the top paragraph, it's in the middle of that block of text, starting with Sherish Hashpos. Otherwise, in the middle of paragraph Hey, it starts plugging all of the ideas from this Torah back into the Sabe de Be'atuna, and we are in the middle of fleshing out the second Maisa before the paragraph starting Anshe Damim Mirma, which is going to finish out Kan L'Shon Rabbeinu. So we're starting with Sherish Hashpos, Ahum Mechuna B'Shem Shilya. We're going to just review some of these concepts, especially because we're going to be finishing off this section soon. I'm going to use the Kitzur Likut Maran to go through some of the ideas, and then we're going to go forward in the text. The Torah itself, like all Torahs, is talking about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of the themes that come up, like we started off, talk about MS, Emuna, specifically Emuna with regard to monetary matters, Shmiras Habris, Mezuzah, the negatives of Atzvos and Atzlos. Certainly, though, a main focus of the Torah is dealing with Mammon appropriately and Taivus Mammon, which is an incredibly delicate dance, but on the other hand, there's a lot at stake. Mammon is something every person needs money to live, needs support to live, and we relate to money and sustenance as bracha. We daven for Parnasa. There's a mitzvah to support one's family. On the other hand, the way that one relates to Mammon and relates to his role in his shtadlus and in seeking sustenance and relating to Mammon itself is the focus of a lot of our discussion. The Torah started off framing it out in terms of attaching oneself and getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh panim de kedusha, and again, I'm summarizing over here, so we'll go back into the text in a minute, but there's panim de kedusha an pinahirin, right, the Arein Sof relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bechina of chayim. We spoke about simcha, emes, emuna, arichas yamim. We spoke about how emes and emuna go hand in hand, emes and emuna being built one on the other. We fleshed out a couple shiurim ago, and also in the last year, that a person can't really structure their avoda around only emes or only emuna, and the opposite of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, arichas yamim, the vitality, the influx of energy into the world, aligning oneself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayis Meshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, MS, it would be Sheker. We've said many times, there's one truth and an infinite ways of falsehood, which we'll reference in a second. And therefore, Sheker, darkness, the absence of light, the absence of truth, the absence of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, relating to any other thing as a source of sustenance, of livelihood, of energy, of bounty in the world, is Sheker. And that's not Arichas Yamim. When we say Arichas Yamim versus Mekatzer Yamim, it's not only the amount of days, but it's the qualities of the days themselves, right? Well, interesting things to focus, powerful thoughts to focus in the world, is that we're able to achieve and acquire and relate to infinity through this world of finite means. So when a person attaches themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are a Ben Olam Haba. Even from within this world, they are living a life of infinite nitzchias, of endless meaning. And when a person puts a cap on that, they live within the structure of the physical Gashmi priorities and relating to things other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, as if to say, as the source, then that is a Mekatzer Yamim, Anpin Chashechin, a dark face, Sitra Achra, Marash Chayra, lethargy, sadness, Avodah Zarah, Lehim Acherim, other sources, as it were, which is Misa, life, inherently Arichas Yamim is attachment to the source of vitality in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else is just dying a slow death from day one, Atzvos. And we related this to Taivus Mammon, that again, the influx of bounty energy in the world, which to us relates very strongly to Parnasa, although Mammon itself, we said, is interesting, because what is money? Really, I work to make money so that I can buy food, so that I can sustain myself. Money itself is, in a certain sense, we all daven for Parnasa, we all daven for money, but what really, if money takes on its own identity, then it's a pull to get something which inherently doesn't even have anything there. And we talked about four or five different inappropriate ways of relating to money, ranging from something like theft, mamish going against Ratzon Hashem, as if not acknowledging that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hamakom. How could a person operate outside Kiviyachol to say the universe of Ratzon Hashem and still hope to achieve and attach themselves to any sort of an influx of bounty and sustenance and bracha, so to speak, to doing what a person is supposed to do, and maybe having a sense of stinginess, a sense of bias over their mamon. So we talked about, like I said, MS and Amunah relating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Amunah specifically in the realm of business practices, this being one of the questions that a person is going to be asked after 120. And the idea of Taivas Mammon really representing, in a certain sense, the Kailal of these Taivas of Avodah Zarah's, of all the 70 nations, so to speak, the 70 Avodah Zarah's, the 70 other, let's say, a palette of priorities, of other things that people chase and give value to, are all encompassed within this idea of Taivas Mammon. Just mention a line that he brings in the Kitzli Kuzmeran, which is just incredibly powerful, says in Isaiah, Kol HaMammon V'Ashir Shelehem, the people that relate to money inappropriately, is Bechinas Schoik HaKsil. People involved in the rat race, the way he translates in the English, is like the game of an idiot, but powerful imagery. Shehamamayin Mesachek Imo, the money is playing with them. The money becomes his master. K'moyshe Mesachkin Imtinoik B'matpos. Not just the master to get somebody to do wrong, it's like playing with him. Again, the person is not even chasing something that's an actual taiva. He's chasing the hechtimtza to get a taiva, almost giving up taivas in order to chase the money, which is there in order to pursue something else. V'ach kach hoireg oisam hamamon ba'atzmo. And then the money is what ends up killing them. People end up, in an easy to understand way, people give up relationships, health, they give up everything that would otherwise make life meaningful, personal goals for money, and the money itself ends up killing them. Now, talking about the idea of money and Taivas Mammon having bias on a person is certainly a good lead in to talk about Shmir Sabris issues, Taivas in the other realm that is actually referred to as the Taivas HaKoilel, also has total bias over a person. And we explained that since Taivas Mammon is Avodah Zarah, the idea of becoming a Kadosh, of being able to align to Kedusha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, every Yid has an element of this Bechina of Tzadik within, but the Tzadikim, the people who have totally purified themselves, when a person is able to attach themselves to a Tzadik in strength and energy through an alignment through the Tzadik, then they're able to achieve this Kedusha. And once a person has this Kedusha, then they're also going to be saved from falling into this Taivas Mammon. There's definitely a lot of similarities thinking about Kedusha, Ata Kadosh. How do we even teach the word Kadosh? Sometimes we say separate, removed, and by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate expression of this being separate is perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ata Kadosh. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift of being able to have a relationship with Him. It's one of the reasons I heard that in a bracha, it switches off between second and third person. His mitzvahs, we both know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. There's no way that we could possibly have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu other than the fact that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gedula, Shamata Motzeam Sanuso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, wants directly a relationship with us, and we have this element in the Shema Zachelik Elikamimal, we're able to relate directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at Kama, that we're a Kadosh, so then we're saved from Elohim Acherim, we're saved from Avodah Zarah, things that are otherwise a source pulling us in different directions, and the two things that we're aligning over here, where a person would be self-serving as opposed to in a position of giving, when a person is engaged in the relationship between an ish and an isha, and a mashpi and a mekabel, and they're bringing a life into the world, and the shleisha shitfin ba'adam, and a person is relating to the very act of bringing down the shechina into this world, and a bayis nem b'yisrael, and a mirtz Hashem aleda, then that is an act of the ultimate kedusha of aligning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shmir Sabris. And when a person does this for a taiva and is self-serving, so this is an element also of Avodah Zarah and being not a kadosh. And we aligned a lot of these ideas with Taivas Mamo. Now, in the last year, we came to plugging these ideas, broadly speaking, I didn't mention every detail, back into the stories, the Mamore Chazal, that sounds like stories, from Sabe de Beatuna, and I'm going to just read just very quickly, high level, the ideas. We're in the middle of the second one. So I'm actually going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's note in page 43 to help sum up the story. Vizapirish Shamru Sabe de Beatuna. Number one was Emar Lanu Mile Dichdiva. Tell us something false. What's considered falsehood? Sheker, Chaisha, Chavodazara. Tell us what would be considered false. And Rabbi Yeshua responded, Havilan Kadnaiso. We had a Kadnaiso, which is a mule, which is a Pirda in Aramaic. Pirda is the same lashon as Pirud, which is separation. We explained how that relates to Avodah Zarah, and in our case, Taivas Mamon, Viyolda, and it gave birth, which would be prophets. So the Taivas Mamon, which is Avodah Zarah, ended up yielding prophet, brought, if you will, influx into the world. Vavitaliale Piska, and there was a note on its neck. Uksivbe Demasik Bebe Abba Meo Alfe Zuze. Says, your father's estate owes me 100,000 coins because there's huge profits. People are drawn after the idolatry, after the Avodah Zarah of money. We explained why Beis Abba relates to money, and therefore people are drawn in by the profits that they can achieve. Amrle, the wise men of Athens said, Nisa miyolda, but if Avodah Zarah is sterile, if you attach yourself to the source of sustenance, the source of life, you create that pipeline, so then bracha, influx, profits, whatever it is, can flow through that. But if you're telling me that there's no other source, then you're attaching your pipe to what? How would it even be possible that there could be any profits that are generated from something associated with Avodah Zarah? And in that case, how could there be Taivas Mamon? Why would anybody have money lust in that context when it's impossible? The only way to achieve, to get, bring the water in, is to attach your pipe to the reservoir. If you're telling me, yeah, there could be like little pools of whatever it is, but the reality is that everything is capped, endless, and there's no way to really get it. In fact, people, we said, die waiting for the money. So then how could there ever be Taivas Mamon? Amar Lahu, so he responded, hey, new milich divi, this is what it means, something false. That people think that there could be profit, but the reality is that there can only be any sort of bracha and influx from the Arapanim, and anybody that thinks that they're going to be better off not making Ratzon Hashem paramount and not attaching themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not living with their entire Ratzon associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the boundaries of Hamakom, you are in the universe of this world and all of the worlds. A person can't function outside of that and hope to have any bracha from anywhere else. It would only be a short-term perception. Milcha Kisari, the second story that we're in the middle of, they asked, with what can salt be preserved? We said that salt, melach, is a bechina of bris, and therefore a person, we said, who does shmiras bris and tikkun bris, this person is saved from taivas mamon. But what happens if a person already achieves melach, he already achieves bris, he has already done tikkun bris, and now he still has taivas mamon? So how is that person going to be preserved when he already has the shmiras bris? But my malchile, with what can that be preserved? And Rav Shua answered, "Besilusa de Chadnaisa, with the shilya of a mule, the sack, the source, what the mule comes in, what is in the mother's belly." The answer was that there's another way. Shmiras HaBris is number one, is the essential way to be saved from Taivas Mamon. For a person that still has some sort of a Taiva, which one way of looking at this, at least in the question, would be that one of the lower levels, a person Be'etzem has not stealing, not Chas V'Shalom going against Ratzon Hashem, but he's still stingy, he still doesn't want to spend, he's looking for the lowest kosher one. There is still what to rectify. He focuses on the source, and we explained in depth that the source of influx of bounty, of bracha, of flow into this world is Be'etzem coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that altitude, there is no negative. It's only once HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Tzimtzumim, etc., flows this bracha into the world at a lower altitude, it takes on certain certain characteristics, depending how we relate to it, depending what kind of a kli we make ourselves into be, then now we divorce it, as it were, in our perception from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we relate to it separately, which is why we think that there could be separate bracha. bracha. But if a person would focus on where does that come from, where does that come from, where does that come from, and we focus on all money as truly representing its ultimate source, at which point there's no negative, there's no rishus, there's no taiva, there's no yetzahara over there, we're looking totally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending into the world, then there is not going to be any alternate desire. We use an example of a father who wants to give a son a token of bracha, gratitude, their relationship, maybe a reward of something he did, and the person takes on the money, and he just wants the money to be able to do something that might be connected to the father. But if he focuses on the source, this helped me understand it at least, if he focuses on the source of the reason and the hargasha and the feeling and the emotion and the expression of the father giving him this reward and where it came from, then there won't be even room to say, and I want to use this connected to the father. That would be, forget about rishis, it would just be, it wouldn't even be emotionally stable. I'm going to take this thing that I'm mamish relating to as an expression of our relationship to do something against that relationship. So they asked, umi ikasi lucid de kadnaisa. But if greed is avodah zarah, the way that he explains it over here is it had the, if greed, taivas mammon, is avodah zarah, which means that it has no womb, it has no source, there's no offspring, there's no source to focus on. If you're relating to taivas mammon as something that's avodah zarah dick, so then avodah zarah doesn't have a source, it doesn't have any profits, this whole system doesn't work. So if somebody is sunk into this taivas mammon, what is the source of that they would be looking toward? And he answers, milcha misaria. Well, wait a second, salt itself wouldn't spoil, meaning that you're right, this nobody would ever find themselves truly in the system, because somebody who is relating to the source, and this is really the crux of it, mibsari echseloka, from my basar, from my brismila, from my kedusha, echseloka, for somebody to get to the point where they are relating to the source, they are relating to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so then they would have needed shmiras habris. A person who has shmiras habris, they're never going to fall into taivas mammon. So that's really again, it's almost like a second level. What if there's a person not fully rectified? But the real answer is your question never really is going to start, because a person who has rectified the tikkun habris, the shmiras habris issues, that person's never going to have taivas mammon. So the basis of your question is, well, what if he has it anyway? Now he has a avodah zarah. How could he relate to the source? He's never going to have to relate to the source as the second level tikkun, because he never would have fallen into taivas mammon in the first place. Therefore, the question never starts, because the question, well, wait a second, this person finds himself with the type of avodah zarah, and you're telling me that the way to be saved from something is to look towards its source, and avodah zarah doesn't have a source, as it were. Rabbi Yeshua is responding that the question never starts. There are questions that have answers, then there are questions where the premise is undermined. The premise of your question is, what happens if a person already had achieved tikkun habris and shleimus habris, and nevertheless they fell into taivas mammon? How are they going to be saved if they can't look towards the source? And the answer is, somebody with full shleimus, full shleimus in the area of tikkun habris, it's impossible for them to fall into taivas mammon, because they're relating to the source and the influx of mammon at a higher altitude than the taivas mammon could possibly start. And then there's no makom for that even to attach itself. But let's just finish off this piece in the text. V'shayresh hashpos, the source of bounty, mechun b'shem shilya. But continuing the analogy of mammon and of aleda, the source of bounty is going to be like a shilya. It's going to be like the sack where the baby comes into the world. Shesham muna chavlad. That's where the leda comes from. Ki ha-shilya hu bechinas dalsei bitni. The shilya, the sack, is a bechina of the doors of my womb, which the Gemara from Bechaira Staf Mem Hey brings that Ha'isif LaHakadosh Baruch Hu Shnei Tzirim, as it were, two hinges, v'shnei dalsos, the evarim associated with the womb are referred to as doors. Ki yesh shnei dlasos le'isha. It's as if there are two doors for the isha where the baby could come out. Kimo shekasov ki lo yisagar dalsei bitni, that the doors of my womb weren't closed. This is a reference from a pasuk in Iyov, but the point is that he uses the lashon of dalsei bitni, doors of the beten, of the womb. Now, dalsei means doors. It also, a dalet is also a letter. So if you have two dalets and you would put them, imagine a dalet one way and then a dalet inverted, if you put those together, that would be like a box. Or if you think about, like, you know, an L in one direction and then a dalet on top of it, those would come together, same shape. So then that would be like an endomem. If you know the Hebrew letters, so then the mem sofis, the endomem, would look like dalsei bitni. It would look like like a box, we're going to say this is also an allusion to the 40 days of Yetziras HaVlad, before which the Vlad is not, doesn't have the almost the definition of a Vlad. It's called Maya Ba'alma. He brings over here in the note from a Sefer Nishmas Avram, which I think is like medical shilas. He says that even though with an ultrasound, you do see that there is some development of Levlad, but that would just be the Haschalas Evarim Vipanim, almost the Tzura of also the development of any animal form until it takes on more of a human development. The Daimel Tzura Sa'adam, that really starts after 40 days. But in any event, what do we have over here? The doors of the room, the Dal Se Bit, relating to the source of Aleda, talking about the womb, talking about the Dalse is the end of Mem, is the Mem Sofis. V'chiyesh l'mala Dalse Shemayim. So similarly, now taking this analogy of the Dalse Bitni, referring to the source, to the Shilya, to the womb of how Aleda comes in, now we're going to talk about how other Shefa comes into the world, which we're also terming Aleda. V'chiyesh l'mala Dalse Shemayim. Shemisham Noilat Hashbos. There also is this Bechina, this element of the Dalse Shemayim, the womb, as it were, in Shemayim, which becomes the source of Hashba. Again, the reason that we're talking about this is a tikkun, a way to be able to undermine, to reject, as it were, to not give a makom for any sort of a taiva or a yetzer, would be to relate to the source by which something comes in. So we're saying that this spiritual, this dynamic, which exists in the physical realm, exists in the spiritual realm also. Where do we see this? K'maisha kasuv dalse shemayim pasach v'yamter aleim ka'ofer she'er. By the mon, by the slav, rain is a, Chaim Kramer brings, rain is used as a reference to bounty, and meat is a symbol of wealth. So when Shefa comes into the world, that's referred to as dalse shemayim, which is similar to the way that we related to a Shilya, to the source of a Vlad. V'zesh aheshiv lehem b'shilya d'chadnaisa hu tikunoi shashomer abris. This, that Rabbi Yeshua responded to them, how is the salt preserved, meaning the person who has shmiras abris is preserved with the mule of a pirda, which can't exist. It's the sack, the Shilya of a mule, which can't reproduce, hu tikunoi shashomer abris. Looking to this source would be the tikkun of a shemer bris kishen neifel the taivas mamon. Then when a person already has the salt and yet he has taivas mamon anyway, how would he get out of this taivas mamon? By looking to the source of the avodah zara, by looking to the source of the pirda. The pirda has also a shilya, which we're going to see in a second doesn't exist, and therefore he would look to the source of that avodah zara. V'amr le me'ika shilya l'pirda, but a pirda, a mule, doesn't have a sack. A mule can't give birth, and therefore the mule doesn't have this physiologically. The mule doesn't have this sack because it can't give birth. Ki akum ein lo afilu beis vlad. And when it comes to avodah zarah, at least a mule theoretically has the body parts where on the outside it would otherwise be able to reproduce, except for the fact that a mule is incapable of reproducing. But the analogy when it comes to avodah zarah goes even deeper. Not only does an akum not able to reproduce, it doesn't even have a base vlad. It wouldn't even have the kalim which could be activated, because not only can avodah zarah not bring influx of bracha into the world going forward, but it also doesn't have a base vlad. It also doesn't have any kalim of heroin. It also doesn't have a source. There's no sheirish at all to relate to. And this is like we foreshadowed a little bit in the introduction, that there's two things going on over here. There's the source of mammon, of wealth, of bounty that comes into the world. Don't confuse mammon with taivas mammon. Like we've said in the past about midos. Midos are not inherently bad. It's what one does with them. It's when the sitra achra hijacks it. It's when a person is not connected to a kadosh baruch hu, so it gets diverted. A person, money, the idea of parnasa, of shefa, of bounty, of coming from dalsei shemayim, that has a very holy source. Down line, at a lower altitude, it attaches to taivas mammon when a person relates to it for the wrong reasons, and therefore in the question it says, hey, a person who has this taivas mammon, who has this avodah zarah, so you'd be looking for the source that relates to avodah zarah, but avodah zarah doesn't have a source. Avodah zarah is just the dark side, so to speak, like we said, panim chashechin, with the light, the energy relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source, but there is no true source for rishus, for ra, for avodah zarah, for these types of things. That's just when a person, so to speak, turns away and doesn't relate to the true source. Amar lahem, you're right. Umilcha misaria, because the salt can't spoil. When a person mibsari el seloka, when a person has the salt, when a person has the melech and the shmiras habris, he's never going to fall into taivas mammon, because this person is already relating to kedusha. He's relating to the true source of mammon, and when a person is in line with where mammon actually comes from, he's not going to be fooled by the taivas mammon that happens. He already sees what's behind the curtain. He already understands that a Kadosh Baruch was sending shefa into the world. So the idea of relating to money as getting it from someplace other than the true source is silly. That makes no sense. He sees what's on top of the pyramid. He's not going to be fooled and drawn in by something that's lower down on the pyramid. And therefore, the question doesn't start. Going into the next paragraph, although in the standard print it's not a separate paragraph, but Anshe Damim Umirma Lo Yechtzu Yemeim. We had said earlier that when a person is chaylik on a tzaddik, every person has an element of tzaddik within him, every yid, but when a person is chaylik on a tzaddik who represents this direct connection, which we're going to explore a little bit more fully in the text, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause his downfall? There's a system HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes this person who's chaylik to be neifel into taivas mammon, and that causes the person's downfall. I'm just going to read a couple of psukim right before in Tehillim, before the Anshe Damim Umirma Lo Yechtzu Yemeim, Tim Kapitel Nun Hey, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says, Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha v'hu yichal kalecha. A person should cast his burden, as it were, onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem will sustain you. Lo yitain li oylam mait l'tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow a tzadik to falter. Ve'ata Elohim taridem leber shachas anshe damim u'mirma. But the anshe damim, which could be read as the people of blood or the people of money, of taivas mammon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause these other people to fall into the pit, into the be'er Shachas of Taivas Mammon, Lo Yechtzu Yemeim, they won't even have half of their years, half of their days rather, Vani Evtach Bach, but I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have Bitachon in you, there's a difference between Emunah and Bitachon. Broadly speaking, I guess we could say that Bitachon is like Emunah in practice. A person has Emunah, and then they exercise that Emunah, that becomes Bitachon. We started off this Torah talking about Emes and Emunah being the attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically in business matters, specifically in areas where we bring in an influx of bounty into the world and attaching ourselves to the source of life, whereas a person that relates to other taivas mammon but relates to that source as being either self-serving or coming, as it were, from another source, that would be a dead end. Anything that's not directly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, we said is really an aspect of Misa. It's like dying a slow death. An analogy that we've used in the past is if a person has a faucet that's plugged into the reservoir, when you open up the faucet, there's a current, the water comes out, and it's not going to stop. For all intents and purposes, it's unlimited. The hose, the faucet, doesn't hold anything, so it has total hisbatlus. There's nothing that gets in the way. It's not a kli. And on the other hand, because of that hisbatlus, it has access to chayim, in our analogy. It has access to unlimited life, unlimited water, whereas if you have a pool of water, no matter how large it is, and you can swish it around and create a current, but it's just dying a slow death. No matter how large the pool is, it's limited in how much water it has, and no matter how fast you swish around the water, you can create a facade, a perception of movement, and that movement might even be quicker than the slower trickle and the slower flow of water from the faucet. However, it's ultimately going to be short-lived, and therefore, in the text over here, Anshe Damim Umirma, these people of blood, the shot in the Tehillim is David HaMelech is saying a tefillah about Doeg and Achitofel, who were Anshe Damim. They wanted to kill David, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they shouldn't have Yechtzu Yemeim. They shouldn't even reach to the age of 35, which is half of a lifespan of 70. But Anshe Damim Umirma Lo Yechtzu Yemeim, they shouldn't have even half their days. Hainu Mishu Hu Baal Machlekes, a person who is a Baal Machlekes, an Anshe Damim Umirma Noifel L'Tayvas Mammon, this person will succumb to greed. V'yamav Kolim Beredifa Achar Maisaros, his days will be consumed with chasing after luxuries, with chasing after mammon. V'zeh Lo Yechtzu Yemeim, this that they won't have half their days, shame, adam meis v'chatzi taivaso biyado. A person doesn't die having achieved even half of his desires. The way that we touched up the Mamre Chazal, that when a person has mea roitzem masayim, it doesn't mean he has 100 and he wants 200, that he always wants to double it. It's that whatever a person has, they dip their toe, they have 100, they want 200 more. And therefore, a person is always one-third of the way, they're always lacking two-thirds. And the more that they have, in effect, actually, the more that they are missing. missing. We move the shiurim are very dense, and we try to move somewhat quickly through the material, but every once in a while it's worth it to write down a couple points and just be mizbeinein. The idea that we get an influx of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of bracha, is attaching ourselves, as it were, to the faucet. We relate to everything that we have. The number one emotion that we should have is Hakaras HaTov. It's not a matter of being selfish. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the tools and the life and the resources in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and attach ourselves to Ratzon Hashem, something that's of infinite proportions. We'll see soon the idea of Arichas Yamim. We'll flesh it out. The idea of relating to money as self-serving, or maybe the source of money is coming from dishonest deals, or however I can manipulate things, is not just a matter of, you know, there's something to work on. It's totally redefining the structure and the paradigm of how we relate to the world and how we're sustained. Once the taiva is the universe in which we relate to having things, that is something that is insatiable. So that when a person attaches themselves to the tzaddik, or they're in touch with their inner tzaddik, which is melach, which is shmiras habris, which is kedusha, which is attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is mamtik, the mariros, it's able to take the very aspect of relating to mamni itself and it's mamtik it. It transforms it. It becomes something as a connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can generate Hakaras HaTayv. That person will be attached to Hashem. But a person who's a Baal Machlokes, he separates from the tzaddik, he fights against the tzaddik, or he separates himself, perhaps we can suggest, even from his inner tzaddik, the inner relationship with Kedusha that he has. This person is going to be trapped by Taivas Mamon, because this is going to be the universe that he relates to everything in his life, the paradigm, the way that he relates to it. K'muva ala pasuk, vayigoresh mipanecha oyev, that the pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Gimel Chav Zayin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will chase mipanecha, which we started off the panim de kedusha. This was at the beginning of the Torah. Oyev, chase your enemies away from panecha. Vayomer hashmeid, these people that are chased away from the tzaddik, what's going to happen? Vayomer hashmeid, they'll fall into a shmad, ayin sham. But shmad, as Avodah Zarah, is Taivas Mamon, this is how they will ultimately be defeated, because now the tzaddik has the direct relationship with the source, with the ultimate energy and sustainer, creator, sustainer, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and these other people fall into Taivas Mamon. They are unable to defeat the tzaddik and to continue their challenge to the tzaddik, because they are plugged into a different, not even a source, but something that's downline from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not anchored in the ultimate source of power, of sustenance, of energy in the world, and therefore they will not be able to defeat the tzaddik. Ad kan Lashon Rabbeinu Zal. This is until here is the Lashon of Rabbeinu that Rabbi Nassim was copying directly from the notes, I guess, and we're going to go on. Rabbi Nassim is now going to flesh out some of these ideas. I believe, my understanding is that the language that's Lashon Rabbeinu Zal is more dense and sometimes more terse, but as Rabbi Nassim fleshes it out, we're going to see that it's going to be a little bit more explanatory. We're going to go into the ideas that we've been discussing, period. Now, Vizesh Asiyem, this that the Pasuk finishes that we read, on Sheidomim Umirma Lo Yechtzu Yemeyem, the people who are Balei Machlekes, the people looking for the blood of the Tzaddik, the people who are attached to Taivas Mamoin, Lo Yechtzu Yemeyem, they are never going to achieve even half of their Taivas. They won't finish up their days. Or in that Pasuk, they were going to have actual Misa at half of their life. They wouldn't even have had access to life. Va'ani Evtach Bach, but I have Bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this relationship, MS, Emuna, Shehu, Bitachin, is a hippoch mitaivas mamon. This is the opposite of taivas mamon. Ki hamashuka b'taivas mamon, somebody who is sunk in, who is immersed, he's living within taivas mamon, which, if we make it a little bit broader than just the taiva to have more money, the money, like we said, is not really a specific taiva. Money is, we make money in order to buy things. So in a certain sense, you could say that money is like the pipeline for bracha, right? In other words, I need a car. So I asked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could deliver a car directly to me. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is pipeline. He sends the money, and then I can divert the money and spend the money on what I need. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, we daven Hashem, decides how much money a person is going to have. That's the bank. That's the budget. That's the resources. A person should spend that on his necessities. Can a person misspend it and then not have money left for his necessities? Conversation for another time. But a person just wants Taivas Mamon. I'm not interested in spending and my life and my resources on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I want to have ownership of that. I want to decide what I need, and maybe I need some luxuries. I want to be able to be the master of how I relate to life and what my priorities are. A person who has Taivas Mamon, that's the opposite of Bitachon, which we said is like Emunah in practice. It's when I actualize Emunah. Actualizing Emunah is the opposite of relating to money and the Shefa as Taivas Mamon, is something that is self-serving. Why? Because again, a person who's Meshukah B'Taivas Mamon Eino B'Teach B'Hashem, he's self-serving, he's not plugging that into Hashem. Ki hu Oyved Kol Akum, he's serving every Avodah Zarah. Once I abstract Taivas Mamon away from a specific Taiva, and I say that I essentially want to be the source of an influx of bracha and shefa in the world, and decide how that goes, and every other, whether it's in the context of, let's say, borrowing money, I'm going to, now again, there's specific instances, people do have to borrow money, but we're talking high level. Why would a person borrow money, let's say, that they don't need? Because I want it sooner. I want it on my own terms. I'm not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not ready to give me this, and I want to have it quicker. Or maybe I'm just stingy. I don't want to be able to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me more than I need, and now there's a needy person over there. I have the opportunity. Hashem could have given me 5 and him 5. Instead, Hashem gave me 10, and I have the opportunity to be on God's side of the table. Hashem is sending it through me, and no, I want to have that ownership. Or maybe I have the resources. I say, listen, this mitzvah costs money. Why should I spend more money on the mitzvah that I'm taking that away from me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the resources to be able to be lucky enough to spend money on this mitzvah, and it's me spending it. It's not just me, Hashem, giving me the resources and me directing the resources to the mitzvah. That's going to be coming away from something that I want to spend on myself. I'm not going to be mishukat, sunken in, immersed in Taivas Mamon. I am going to actualize this emunah. I'm going to have bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shetucha lahazmin li parnasasi b'siba kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the resources I need. If I'm spending money in the right ways, then why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu make me, I have a bank also of time and emotional energy. If I'm going to take the resources and spend it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem should give me the resources so that I can spend my bank of emotional energy and time and strength on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could really send me money with a Siba Kala. Every word of this Torah, we could just spend a half an hour, a lifetime talking about. Why would a person go and take time away from their family, from their self, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to make money? Because they want money for whatever their own preferences are. But if a person's ultimate preference is to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army, and they know that Hashem is going to give them Asali Kol Tzarki, everything that they need, then my ultimate goal is to plug in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. My ultimate goal is to be Mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Hashem is going to give me everything that I need, B'siba Kala. If I don't have it, then maybe I have to reevaluate whether that's actually my job in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to withhold from me the resources to do what I have to be doing. Right, the Rabbi Maimon pointed out, but right before the pasuk that we associate with Parnasa, Paiseach Siadecha Umaspia Lachol Chai Ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Parnasa. What comes right before that? What comes before we ask for Parnasa? Eine Hashem Elecha. My eyes are to you. I am my goals where I'm looking towards is associated, and my ambitions, my goals are towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like we said a moment ago, we're looking at the source. I understand that my eyes are looking towards Elecha. Those are my goals. Those are my ambitions. That's where I'm looking to for the money. And therefore, it's not that I have money and I can use it for good things or bad things. If I relate to money as just a pipe that's plugged into the source of all Shefa, Taivas Mamon doesn't start. Taivas Mamon doesn't work its way into that worldview. Ve'eye sameach b'chelki. And I'm going to be sameach with my chelek. Ve'lo eye meshuka b'taivas Mamon. And therefore, a person will not be sunk into Taivas Mamon. Just to mention one or two points that I think are nice, based on the Balatanya in one of the letters in the back, it says, V'ar'eya sameach b'chalki. If you think about the Lashon of Chelek, you say, Ashreinu matoyev chalkeinu manoim garelenu. A garel is a lot. It's something that's for me. A chelek, if you have a chelek of a pie, a piece of pie, there's nothing different from the slice of pie that I have than from the rest of the pie. The only thing that's different is what I have. And the question becomes that if anything has a chelek, even if you didn't divide the pie yet, that means that it's potentially divisible. So what does it mean that a person in the neshama is a chelek of the kamimal? What does it even mean that we have a chelek if something is indivisible? And then if you take a chelek out, then the thing is missing. So how does this even relate to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? It's a good question for separately. However, sameach b'chelki means that I acknowledge that I don't have it all. I acknowledge that what I have is a chelek. But if what I have is a chelek, that's part of a greater whole. Again, I don't want to exceed, go past the boundaries of pshat, but perhaps we could say, how does a person achieve simcha? How does a person achieve this attachment where he's defined by something that's greater than the sum of its parts? By understanding that he has a chelek. Nobody can have it all. Not in terms of resources, not in terms of skills and abilities, but if I am totally aligned, like we said, a chelek is really no different than the rest of it. If my ritzonos are total hisbatlus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm part of that machine. So if you look at a machine that has different parts and I say point to the machine, you don't have to be pointing to the entire thing. You point to a chelek, which is a necessary, which is an intrinsic, which is functionally part of the ultimate machine, then that is a chelek. Even though it only performs one of those functions, it's identified with the thing itself. And perhaps we could say, how does a person have simcha? How is a person identified and expansive and one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself when he recognizes that what he has is a chelek, and then it becomes the difference between Yeshli Rav and Yeshli Kail. A person is always going to be limited by what he has unless he has a chelek and he's now part of the greater whole. So then, Yeshli Kail, he essentially has everything. The Inecha, his eyes are Elecha, and he understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everything be'itai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everything when it's time, and he doesn't have to push even the right thing for the wrong reasons or on the wrong schedule. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everything their ratzon. Why? Because his ratzon is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. V'al kein, elu hamishukan b'mamon, those who are sunk into money, kol ma sheyesh le'ashiris yoyser. If a person is meshuka b'mamon, then the more mammon that they have is defined. Again, we're redefining how he looks at mammon itself. A person who is plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more they have, the more, perhaps, the more of an obligation it causes. If a person needs $1,000 to live, and they have $100,000, or if they have $1,000,000, that just means that they have more resources to do Ratzon Hashem. That doesn't necessarily mean that they should redefine their priorities, but when a person relates to Mammon, relates to Taivas Mammon on their own terms, then the more that they have, the more that's reinforced. And Yesh Lo Daigus Va'atzvus Umar Ashchara B'Yoyser. And therefore, if Simcha is being plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is being Sameach B'chelkai, then the opposite of Simcha, which is anxiety, which is Atzvutz, which is sadness, which is Marash Chayro, which is depression, I can never have everything, and no matter how much I have, I'm going to desire more, and a person is never going to have even half of their desires, so that the more that they have, the more they realize how much they want, the more that they realize how much they're missing, and they're limited by their own capabilities. They're not plugged into infinity. Anything they eat is only going to be beitzavon with sadness. They're relating, we said, what's anpin chashaychin? Relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and anpin hayrin, which is the light, which is the rays, as it were, coming from the source. I am now plugged into Chayim itself. But when a person is redirecting their Einei Cholei Lecha, instead of their gaze, their ambitions, their goals, they're looking at where the source comes from, instead of looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they redirect that towards their own priorities, and the source of money, the source of their resources is their business partner, it's customers, it's the stock market, it's these other things that Be'etzem don't really have, they're not really plugged into the actual source, they're limited by whatever the circumstances chances are they're always going to be chasing their tail and it's always going to be out of their hands. I think we've said in the past, which holiday is the holiday of Simcha? It says by Shemini Atzeres, the Nisuch HaMayim. And what do we scream out? Ana Hashem Hashiana. It's the holiday of Hashanas. How could that be Simcha? Because when we scream out, as it were, in desperation, meaning that we have zero responsibility other than to do Ratzon Hashem, Ana Hashem Hashiana. If I'm responsible for it, then I could have a good day or a bad day. If the stock market is responsible for it, it could be a good day or a bad day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 100% responsible and I'm 0% responsible, I'm totally screaming out Hoshiana. That's where I could have total simcha because I'm not leaving anything to chance. Everything is within my bechira, and if I didn't get it, it means that I don't need it. The most that you could say on Hashem Hoshiana, the most that you can mamish have his batlas, that's where you can have the most simcha because you're plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're not plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're hiding from the light. That's Anpin Chashaych, and that's the darkness. That's Be'etzem Misa Kanal. That's a dead end. That's the opposite of Chaim, is an element of Misa. V'alkein, kol ma sheyesh le'mamon v'ashiris yoyser, the more money that a person has when they relate to money from a point of view of taivas mamon, and that becomes reinforced, yesh le'atzvas u'marashchayra v'daigas yoyser, the more depression and anxiety they have, ki ha'mamon shelohu mi'bechinas atzvas. Why? Because the mamon that they have, all of their possessions, is reinforcing this idea. The way that they relate to it is an element of misa and self-serving, u'marashchayra v'chulu kanal. It's perhaps a good test when a person takes a step back. If you'd make a list of everything you have to be grateful for, and you come up with just pages and pages and pages. I mean, everything that was in the Rav Avigdor Miller's Etzal biography, it discusses that when he would come across somebody who had some sort of a deficiency, you could daven for them. There's a lot of things you could do, but one of the things he would do is keep a list of Hakaras HaTov, Baruch Hashem. These are things that I took for granted. Now that I see that people have this challenge, Baruch Hashem, I realize that I might have taken it for granted before. Hashem gave me something wonderful. If a person, despite all of that, goes through this exercise and they find that they are not in a good headspace, they don't live a life walking around of gratitude and Hakaras HaTov, perhaps this can be a point before Elul to reevaluate a person's own priorities and how they do relate to this. V'zehu sha'amru Rabbi Hussein Zechorna Levracha marbe nechasim marbe daiga. This doesn't mean for everybody who has nechasim. There were big tzaddikim that had a lot of money, big tzaddikim that didn't have a lot of money, but those people weren't walking around in a world of daiga and anxiety. Ki bevadai hu mar bedaiga va'atzvos ayidei ribui nechasim v'ashiris. But when a person relates to their money the way we've been discussing, then by definition they have more daiga because their world and their world view is more rooted in something that is not connected with God, and therefore it's not a question of what they have, it becomes a question of what they're missing. It becomes a question of limitations. Their very possessions, they're not sameach b'chelkai. They want it all. They need to fulfill their desires. They don't look at what they have as a chelek, which interestingly we said is a chelek, essentially means that I have an aspect of the whole. No, what they have is they want yeshli kol, and whatever they don't have is something that they're missing. Valkein kol ma shemisrab in yaser, the more they have, nisraba atzvas v'daigas b'yaser kanal, the more they're missing, because they'll never have all of their desires. They're just chasing something that's a moving goal. If I say that I want to do Ratzon Hashem, I can accomplish that right now. And now it's just a question of where I am in that journey. But if I am chasing my own desires, I'm chasing my own goals, those goals will never be fulfilled, then I can never have it. And I'm going to suggest in a second, it says, Yom of Chayev, the days and his Chayim. One is the days of life. What does it mean? It's Mekatzer Chayev. There's nothing like anxiety and depression, which is mekatzer, mafsid. These are languages of gvul. These are languages of limitation. But everything is limited. What's the difference if it's 100 years or 50 years or 120 years? People used to live till 900 years. All of our lives are kitzer. But what I'm going to suggest, and then we'll go forward in the language itself, I think I mentioned this earlier on, is arichus yomim doesn't mean a lot of days. If you have 100 years worth of days, no day is different than a life of 50 years worth of days. Each day still stands on its own. Arichus Yamim is the quality of the day itself. I actually on Erev Shabbos, I picked up a book that I Sefer that I saw just came out. Somebody put together the philosophy of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and a lot of it is really coming from Chabad generally, but it's on the Lubavitcher Rebbe's focus. I didn't get very far, but one of the ideas that he's discussing towards the beginning is Dira B'Tachtonim, creating a Mokom for Hashra Shechina in this world, and how do we relate to this world, which is the most distant, as it were, the most mundane, the most physical. All of the world, the systems, the Olamos, the Malachim, those are spiritual worlds that are Kaddish Baruch Hu created through Hishtalshalus, and they are a distilled, as it were, and get into it, expression of the Ar Ein Sof and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu develops, as it were, the creation. But what about our world? It seems to be qualitatively different from all of those worlds in between us, going all the way up the ladder. Our world seems to have not just a distilled and a lesser spiritual expression, but it seems to be totally independent, with independent priorities. Things seem to be mundane, physical. Everything that we're discussing over here, Taivas Mamon, there seems to be, as it were, a opportunity through Bechira and so forth, but even through all the forces, the Sitra Achra, for the world to express itself as being something that's not just lower down, at a lower altitude, lower down on the chain, but actually, as it were, different. And he goes on to describe our avoda of creating a makom for Hashras Hashchina and Dira B'Tachtonim, of taking these things that seem to be not just lesser but actually different from things that would be expressive of the priorities and the rutzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have the opportunity to redefine. We could take that moment and redefine it from something that's used for us as something that's used by us for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the opportunity to literally reinvent, as it were, to be creators. We have the opportunity to take something which expresses itself in a physical form and give it nitzchius dik properties, a nitzchius definition. So that one example that we've used, if it helps at all, is when I move a piece of plastic, what action did I just do? Did I move a piece of plastic 1 centimeter? Or if it's a light switch, did I turn on a light? When I give money to somebody else, did I take something that I could have used for myself and instead of spending it on myself, I spent it on somebody else? Or did I give tzedakah and act as a pipeline for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send resources in, and therefore for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pour in rachmim and chesed into the world and change the entire balance of myself, my family, the entire world, affecting something that's essentially a change of infinite proportions? A person who's a ben olam haba doesn't mean that they're getting rewarded later. It means that right now they're living as a ben olam haba. Those yamim have arichas Yamim Dik properties. The days that this person is living in is not a 24-hour day. He's operating within a 24-hour structure, framework, but he has Arichas Yamim. A person who is associated not with the infinite source and infinite properties, and that's not how he relates and defines himself, is being Makatzer Yamim. He's taking these days where he could learn Torah, he could do Chesed, he connect to another Jew, he can make a Kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Hashra Shechina in this world, and now he's putting boundaries around that. He's taking those yamim and he's being makatzer yamim, and therefore back in the text, when a person's worldview is anxiety, is atzfus, is depression, is cut off from simcha, from arichas yamim, from a kadosh baruch hu. So we see this in our world as well. Anxiety kills, because mammon and ashiris are marba daiga va'atzfus kanal akenu mavsud machala chayav. When he thinks about the source of shefa, money, life, and he thinks about that, he redefines that very thing. Instead of being life-giving, it's something that seeps life. Al-Kain, who mafsid mechal achayev, ki hum akusher b'ponim the sitra achra, because he is now tied to the sitra achra, Elohim achayrim, choyshech, hu b'chinas misa, hefich or p'nei melachayim kanal, like we've been discussing. B'al-Kain, ha-mamen meimis oso, the mamen itself will kill him, as it were. It associates him with death, because the money itself, which should be the source source of shefa and life and abundance is itself an element of Misa, and that's how he's sustaining himself and reinforcing his worldview. Shehu atzvus, he becomes depressed. Kanal shekolzehu bechinas taivas mamon. Kanal, all of this is taivas mamon. Going further, we're going to associate this taivas mamon with the nachash and the klala of the nachash. Vizesh akasav by the klala of nachash in the beginning of Bereishis, the afar toichal kol yemei chayecha, that the snake would have its food available, but it would eat from the dust. Afar zebechinas hamamon, kemosha kasav va'afrais zahav lo. It's a pasuk in Iov that's relating gold to dust. Rav Chaim Kramer points out that Iov is speaking about the sources, the sources in the natural world of everything that there is. And he says in our text, dust is compared to melancholy. Dust we relate to atzvus, which suggests that gold before it is mined, as well as everything that is attached to dust, which is one of the kaychas in the physical world, is enveloped in atzvus. Okay, so he says zebechinas mamon, like it says afar zavlo. Hainu shehamamon v'ha'ashirus shubechinas afar, that mamon and ashirus, and we're relating to gold as representative of mamon, gold being associated with the quality in the physical bria of dust, which relates to atzvus in the midos. Toichal kol yemei chayecha. This is what a person will be eating if a person has taivas mamon, which the mamon is buying the food that the person is eating and living off of, but when that is sourced in something that's atzvus based and something that's afar, so then this will again reinforce, this is going to, he's going to be eating from the dust and he's going to be living in a state of atzvus and reinforcing that. Ki hamamon hi acheles umechala kol yemei chayav shel adam kanal. The mamon will eat all of his days. Perhaps we could say, what does it mean that it eat all his days? When it consumes his days, we said that that's mekatzer yamav, that puts gvul on it. Instead of being expansive and besimcha, it's going to eat away at his days. And literally, we said, even the Reifim will say in our world that anxiety, daiga, those are killers. Ki afar hu bechinas atzvus, because afar is the same bechina of atzvus, the Shari Kedusha, famously Rav Chaim Vital, relates to the midos within the Bria. We had a big discussion of it in Torah Dalet. Eish, Mayim, Ruach, Afar. Atzvus is associated with Afar in the Midos. Shehu Bechinas, Taivas, Mamon, Kmo Shekosev, B'tikunim, Afar, Ihu, Kar, V'yavesh. The qualities of Afar are cold and dry. Hachi, Techoil, Kar, V'yavesh. The organ that's associated with Atzvus is the spleen. I don't know much more than that, but also it has these qualities of Kar, V'yavesh, of cold and dry. So we'll take his word for it for now, that afar and the spleen and atzvus, all of these are associated with the same elements and characteristics in the Bria. Kadosh Baruch Hu put it into structure, into place a certain structure in the Bria, and layered over this particular structure is things within the Bria physically, things within the Bria emotionally. All of these things are built with the same pieces. They represent and manifest themselves in different ways, and we see that the same qualities that that manifest themselves in Afar are the same qualities that represent themselves in depression and Atzvus. V'zeh she'siyem sham b'tikun. And the desire finishes off. Ubegin da, because of this, the afar toichal kol yemei chayecha, that he'll eat dust all of the days of his life. Hainu kanal, that through a person falling into taivas mamon, he is going to associate himself and be davuk in the nachash and the klal of the nachash. And the nachash represents the sitra achra and klipa and the malchus of klipa, which what we're describing all along is what's the source. Is a person being mevatel himself to malchus to Dusha, or the malchus of the other side, the world representing and reflecting other ideals, perhaps we could say. And therefore, afar associated with the nachash is atzvus, and this is going to, he's going to eat all of the days of his life, and it's also going to consume all of the days of his life. I think we could say in both directions, ayin sham v'havein heitev. Zeh shekasov b'tikunim, and this that it says in the Zohar, in the Tikkuni Zohar, t'chayil v'spleen da lil. Rav Chaim Kramer points out, not to say that the names of certain malachim because it's as if it gives them kayach, but this lil angel, which represents the sphere of the malchus, the klipa, ima de erev rav, she is as it were the ima, she generates the erev rav, the rishayim that are mixed in, the mixed multitude with klal yisrael. So again, members of klal yisrael, similar perhaps to what we're saying, introducing the way that we relate to mammon. Mammon is part of the of what people need, it's part of what everybody relates to, but it's a question of it's mixed in. Sometimes it's hard to tell about others or about even oneself what their true priorities are. But this mixed multitude that ultimately causes death, shchayk ksil, it's the levity of the ksil, as it were. Man ksil, this ksil, da el acher, is the el acher, the sitra achra. Over here brings down from Kabbalistic sources the samach mem angel, who is, as it were, the baal, the husband of the little angel, because the samach mem angel is referred to as melech zaken v'ksil ayin sham. V'iyu askara, and the children, as it were, that come from this union between El Acher, between the Sitra Achra, between the Samach Mem angel and the Lil angel, this generates Askara, which is a disease that is it's a respiratory infection, but it's a horrible disease. It translates over here as diphtheria, which cuts off essentially the ability to breathe. It causes choking. If we think about the neshama, the neshima, the ruach elokim, attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through neshima, through breath, this is what cuts off our connection to life, our connection to chayim. It causes askara l'ravya, causes askara to children. Over here it says white children. It's those whose das are not developed to be able to save themselves from Taivas Mammon. We're going to see that a tzaddik is one Chachamein of Barosho who's able to not fall into Taivas Mammon, but over here, those who are not able, Taivas Mammon affects everybody. We're all dealing with Mammon, but the people who fall into Taivas Mammon, those are people that do not have the das and the connection to the tzaddik and the connection to the source and the relationship to the source to be able to save themselves. Di'inun chayavaya, those who are guilty, these rishayim, these people who are ending up being chayav, they fall into Taivas Mammon. They are ultimately led in the wrong direction by these negative forces, and these negative forces are the one that ultimately caused their death, because this lil angel chayches behind beutra b'hai alma, she laughs, as it were. We brought this from the Kitzli Kutumaran earlier on, that it says it's a laughter. What is laughter, by the way? Perhaps we can say laughter is a reaction when it's something that's unexpected. It's something that's an irony. It's something that's misrepresented and distorted in almost a comical way. It's totally divorced from the meaning of what something is. When a person takes mammon, which is the ultimate connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is able at the source, it gives us shefa, and they totally misrepresent and take this mammon and they attribute it to the wrong source and they make it self-serving and they die, so to speak, with millions of dollars in the bank, maybe living as a pauper, or they take the money that Hashem gave them and then they withhold it instead of using it to buy themselves eternity with mitzvahs, and they use it only to fund and pay for their pleasures, if not, like we said, just totally leaving in the bank and not even getting the pleasures. That causes laughter. The money plays with them. It's very, very powerful mashal to really be mizbain in it. Ulbasar ketilas lein, and then it ends up killing them. And now we're going to tie Taivas Mammon directly to Misa. Ki elu meshukam v'mammon heim v'bechinas b'itzavon teichalena. Like we said before, the curse of the Nachash, those who are meshuka b'mammon are within the curse of what they eat, is really out of depression. They're not attached to Simcha. They're not attached to, they're not relating to their source as HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Nitzchias, but rather it's something that's Misa. It's something that is not sourced in eternity, but it's sourced in temporary priorities and ideals, and it's limited. Shubachinas tchol, which is associated with the tchol, shubachinas atzvas, which in physiological terms we said that the tchol, the spleen, is associated with depression. Umara shchera, lethargy, sadness, v'riboy daigas, anxiety, v'hem mekushar v'ponim desitra achra. This is relating not to the anpin nahirin, not to the elohim, not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of sources of power, but rather as it were, door to the other side, a distortion, as it were. Again, it doesn't really have its own source. It's just the Sitra Achra. It's the other side of truth. It's looking at it from an angle and then misrepresenting it. El Acher v'chulu kanal. Shekol zehu b'chinas tchayl. All of this is associated with the tchayl, with the spleen. Ima de'erev rav schayk ksil, which is associated with the lil angel, which is generates this taivas mamon. It generates the erev rav, the wrong priorities, and ultimately causes their death, which is also together with the schayk ksil, the laughter, as it were, of the ksil of the fool. El acher kanal v'zesh kosev shom lebasa ketilas lain, that after this it actually kills them. Ki bevade amamet shubachinas tchayl atzvus kanal. This money, one person relates to the source of bounty coming in, but in the negative way, and it's associated with daigo, with anxiety, with depression. Kanal hayregos asam. This actually seeps and saps, rather. Actually the right word, it saps out their chayos, it saps out their energy, it saps out their life and their drive. I mean, we can see this maisa b'chol yom, hayregos asam. It kills them in an actual physical way. It kills a person, but it also just takes out their live energy. Ki hamamon shelohu b'chinas misa an pincha sheichin atzvos v'chulu kanal. I know it's late. I want to push through a drop just to where it says v'zayis tayri lashon rabbeinu. We spend so much time developing these concepts, I think that it's worthwhile. V'zehu mashakosav le'el. We said earlier on, we brought a Gemara in Brachas, that the B'nai Ma'arav, the people in Eretz Yisrael, would ask a chasan motza o motze, asking about the kala. And we explained in Pnimiya Shetaivas Mamain, who bechinas moitze ani mar mimaves es ha'isha kanal, that I find more bitter than death is the isha, because the parnasa is referenced by the isha. We explained this also in the introduction, that this was a message, or this was about the mice that happened with Rav Lipa. Kichein mevayr sham betikunim umoitze ani mar mimaves es ha'isha. I find more bitter than death an isha v'dat chayl. So you'd have to look up in the Tikkun Ezra, but he says that the person who's chasing after mammon is davuk in the lil angel, which is malchus of klipa. This is a bechina of chayl, and his parnasa will be more bitter than death because it's an element of atzvus, of marash chayra, of depression, lethargy, anxiety, worry, and this again is a representative of actual death and also even just death. If you think about somebody who's unable to be engaged in life because of his attitude, his emotional stability or instability, parnasa dekdusha, but a person who is davuk to the shechina, he looks at the source of mamon. The parnasa that he gets is coming directly, as it were, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he relates it, and it strengthens his hakaras hatov. It strengthens his attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He relates to malchus dekdusha, and everything that he has is part of his cheshbon nefesh, how he's going to spend it, his role in life. Ubechinas matza isha matza taiv. A person who finds parnasa, he finds taiv, not negative. This very thing is defined. It not just represents. It's not just an abstract idea. When he has money, that reinforces his attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of Rahman Lassalam the other way. Ubechinas hatzadik kanal, because matza taiv. Toiv ain't toiv el tzaddik, the Gemara in Yuma says. And a tzaddik is a bechin of bris, of shmiris bris, of bris melach, of somebody who is who has shmiris bris, who's a kadosh, an at a kadosh. He's attached to a kadosh baruch hu, and there is no taivas mammon there. There's no room for the taiva of mammon, because the mammon itself is reinforcing his attachment to a kadosh baruch hu. Kitzadik ha'emes nitzol mizeh. He's saved, first of all, like we saw in the ma'isa by the Sabbat Be'etuna, a person who's full tzaddik, full tikkun abris, full kedusha. He's attached to a kadosh baruch hu. There's no room even for taivas mammon, and a person who theoretically does have some room for taivas mammon, they can look back at the source, and then they'll be saved from it. Ki ein hamamon mazaklo, the mammon is not going to harm him. If anything, it's reinforcing his attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki olav nemar, the pasuk in Kehela says, moitzei ani mar mimaves es ha'isha, toiv lifnei ha'elohim yimaleit mimena. A toiv, a tzaddik who's before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he relates to the panav, the anpin ha'irin, the panav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emes, the emuna, and that's how he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending parnasa, shefa. He is escapes. He escapes this taivas mamon, the death. Why did we call the Rishayim, the ones who perished from the taivas mamon, from the askara, why did we call them children? Ravya means children. Begin, because the law is point daslish to ezev mine, because they don't have have the das, they're like children, that they don't have the chachamein of Bereishai, they don't have the das in order to be saved from this taivas mammon, which is now going to reinforce itself and attach them to the malchus de klipa of a lev maven. But a person who does have a lev maven, a person who has this understanding, ishdez, if he saved minei de tamon tzaddik, because over there he has a bechina of a tzaddik, he has the shmiras habris, he doesn't get involved. Once a person's on a slippery slope already, but a person who has chachamein baroshu, he has a lev maven, he's a tzaddik, he's saved from it. V'raza demila, and the side is toiv lefnei Elohim, a tzaddik who is before HaKadosh Baruch, who is attached to the panim of HaKadosh Baruch, who yimalei b'menu will be saved from taivas mammon v'chaytei, but the sinner yilachad bo will be ensnared in it. Kitzara chachma v'das gadol is that a person needs a tremendous lev maven, a person needs chachma to understand this shelo yaziku mammon. Before you get into that point where a person's already pulled, he's already has the mammon, once he relates to it in a negative way, it could be already too late unless he has the unbelievable strength to be saved from it. But a person who has the lev maven said he shouldn't be mazik, he shouldn't be harmed from it, shelo yechali yemei chayev, because otherwise his life is going to go down the drain, either actual death or even if life is an opportunity, like we said, to attach oneself to nitzchias, a person can use the every second, every moment, every day of his life, every word of Torah, the Gra says, is a separate mitzvah. How many words can a person learn a short period of time, and a person is distracted and they're going and they want to get money, and money is important. It costs a lot to be a from Jew, it costs a lot just to live, but the way that they relate to money is something that eats up all the days of his life, and they leave some part of the day to be Yaitz Zion with Tyra, with Avaida, or they'll do it later on when they retire, and it uses up their entire life. And we see the raya about how great a person's chachma has to be saved from this, because look around, most of the world is ensnared in this, and they justify it. Also, by the way, the taiva of the money, the drive for the money, the ambition, their goal, and we consider ourselves productive, and it kills them, it eats them up. The only way to be saved from this is to develop the inner tzaddik, and to attach oneself to be yoinek from a tzaddik who has reached this shlemus in tikkun habris and kedusha. Shenemar olav toiv, the tzaddik lefnei Elohim, again, is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is attached to the panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yimalei mimena kanalash ashrei loy. This person is ashrei, is fortunate. Ayein sham b'tikunim v'sira niflos. Now, with this background, you could look into the tikunim, which would otherwise have been unable to decipher, but now, with this background, you could look into the tikunim that we've been going through, and you will see unbelievable wonders. Eich ata now, shepasach rabbeinu zechron levrach haseinenu, now that our eyes are open, v'gila lanu ashakdamas hachadoshas hanaflos hamavarim, and with everything that we discussed and going back into this Tikkun Azara, which I guess he's referring to the Gemara, the Tikkun Azara with Lil and with the Samach Mem angel and the giving the Askra to the Tinoikais, Ata Ata Mavirim Hetev Divrei Tikkunim Kanal, you can look into these brief passages of Tikkun Azara and you will see everything that we've been discussing. Ki Ata Mavirim Sham Kol Divrei Rabbeinu Anal, in there is everything that Rabbeinu has now described to us. Rei V'Havein V'Chacham, a person can see and understand and become wise. Ayin Sham Tikkun Ayin Anal, go look in Tikkun 70. Masha Kasav Sham Im Zocha. If a person is Zoicha to become a tzaddik and to be Shemer Bris Ezer, then he will be Dovuk to the Shechina, which will help save him from Taivas Mammon Vim Lav. And a person that is not Zoicha to Shmiras Abris, Kenegdai, then he'll be Dovuk in the Malchus the Klipa and the Lil Angel, which will be opposite him and will plunge him into Taivas Mammon and ultimately death. Alei Itmar, on this person it says, this person finds more bitter than death. The Isha, which is a representative of Parnasa, Vedat Tchayl, this is a Bechina of the Tchayl Shabsoi, which is also the Mazel of Shabsoi, which is expressing the Malchus the Klipa. Hainu Bechinas Atzfus, Umara Shchaira, Shehu Bechinas Tchayl Shabsoi. Psai, Psaya Ukma, Kayadua. Again, once you know the inner code, the programming of the world, then you will see how everything is layered over the Panemius, and he's discussing beyond us. Shabsoi is Saturn. Psaya Ukma is a reference to a black Kaili, a black bucket. But Psaya is also a lesson of Pesi, which we said is the Schaik Ksil. Pesi is like a fool, the black fool. Ezer Dashchinte, Allah Itmar. Again, a person is Zaychel, I guess, because they'll have an Ezer. If not, it'll be Kenegdo. The Ezer, the one who helps him, the one who gives this matana, a person attached himself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to be an Ezer. Matza Isha, Matza Taiv, V'yafik, Ratza in Mayashem. If a person has found a wife, has found good, and we associated Isha with Parnasa, he's found good. Good is with a tzaddik, a person who's a tzaddik, Hashmir Sabris, he attached himself to a tzaddik. He relates to Parnasa in the positive way, and he will get Ezer from Hashem. He will have favor, as it were, V'yafik, Ratza in Mayashem, rather, he will have chayin, ratzayin from Hashem. Begin da, and because of this, Havo Amri Mare Masnisin, the Tanoim, the masters of the Mishnah said, Motza o Maitzei. Did you again associate with the two psukim which relate to Parnasa as Motza Ishatov, Motza Nimar Mimavas, Ayin Shem Hetev Havim, Visir Shakoldiv Rabbeinu Zal, Mavorim Atasham? And now you will see that everything that Rabbeinu said is actually within that Tikkun Ezar, Tikkun Gimel and Al Ber Hetev. And therefore, as we read the last paragraph over here, Vizois Hatayra Hiloshin Rabbeinu Zal Ba'asma Adamakam Shinir Shem La'el, until where we pointed it out in the text was directly the Lashon of Rabbeinu, Misham Bahala, Humi Lashaini. From there on is my own words, says Rabbi Nassin, Masha Shemati, Oy Dvarim, Shalanizbru, Lashaini Akkadish, that I heard other things that were not explained explicitly from Rabbeinu, Va'oid, Laloham Milin, and other godly things that I heard. He's referencing a Pasuk in Eov, Ki Oid Le Loya Milin. Masha Shemati, Vivanti, Mipiva Kaddish, Be'esh, Zachis, Lishmaya, Mipiva Kaddish, Hatera, Zois, Vizehu, and then he goes on to explain some other ideas that he's going to tie back into what we've been discussing until now. Okay, Yeshkayach Gadol, and Mir Tashem, it could be that we'll actually finish this Torah, never finished, but finish this Torah in the next year.